Now, so this is a OMR board meeting for February 14, 2018, starting at 6:07 p.m. Pacific time. The first item is call to order and the roll call. So I'll just go through the roll call. Jit. Robert.
Here.
Daniel. Sherwin.
Here.
Lou
emailed us. He said he wasn't going to be able to make tonight.
Okay. And then Shamim, myself, or Brady, here, Senna.
I'm here.
Roberto.
I'm here.
Matthew.
Yeah, I'm present.
Steven. I know he's here because he chatted. We'll get back to Steven. Scott. And then John.
Yes, here.
Let me see if. He's here. It looks like Steven may just be able to chat today. But so Steven's here. Next item. So that we fulfill quorum. So we'll move on. Next item is the approval of prior meeting minutes. I think we don't have those though, so I think we may postpone that till next
yeah,
one.
My apologies. January is a very busy month for me, so I have them. I just need to get them posted, and I'll provide a link, and we can just do it in March.
Perfect. So next item is financial report. So Stephen chat has been uploaded. So we can probably, and again, that's uploaded on, that's on the forum, posted on the forum thread for this meeting. So if folks want to look at, the one thing I did notice, looks like we had it looks like $1,000 of donations come in for the month of January. So that's good news. So the next, it looks like the only expense was basically the cloud service, which was $130. No other expenses. So on to the next item, unfinished business, the revocation status. It looks like Stephen can't really talk. So we could, Stephen, let me know in chat if you want to postpone that discussion and the organization restructuring. I know Stephen's been in discussion with John. I forgot his last name regarding how
John,
to restructure.
Yeah, John. John Weathersby.
Oh. Okay, you're here.
Yep. Yeah. No update really. He never got back to me. I emailed him again. And I just haven't heard anything.
So he was really excited at the beginning. I guess he's not anymore.
I know he was, and he was seemed like a cool guy, and you know, I think like you know, happens he gets busy, so I'll touch base with him again. I did ask a lawyer I know about the situation. Actually, I asked a couple. I didn't think of really asking people locally. I know quite a few people here in my city, and one guy actually suggested that I get in touch with an accountant because you know maybe more what we're doing is just looking to get an accountant's perspective on the switch from 501c3 to a C6. I don't think there's a lot of legal ramifications, and I think the application is such a bear that no one really specializes in it. So it's just the client, you know, like he said, the client had done the application before on their own, and then the accountant just added some advice. So it's like, you know, it's kind of what we are used to. We do the legwork, maybe get some timely advice from somebody and make it happen. seems like the best path forward is to go C6 and then spin up the D3, you know.
Like, yeah, I agree, because OEMR has no chance of C3 at this point. So, and it's going to, at some point, I think we're officially not. And I think our deadline for any sort of turning another letter to the IRS is pretty much coming up pretty soon. So I think just maybe we'll look into how we go to C6 and then just go that route and start to work on the paperwork for that. And then for the folks that are really, you know, then we can start thinking about what to do with the C3. I know this is, you know, the Open Collective has a mechanism for, they'll actually host organizations for C3s, meaning I forgot what it means. And Matthew may know more, but that may be an option. But they actually, it's funny, in their email, they made it clear that it has to be a charity. It can't just be open source. So obviously they have, they know about these issues with the IRS also. It can't just be your project open source and you're going to be a C3 through Open Collective. You have to be more charity type organization. If I don't know, Matthew, if you have anything to add on that, that's kind of the take I got from them.
Yeah, you nailed it. The woman that runs this organization, well, I think she's a co-founder, but regardless, she's a leader. Very busy. She seems to travel a lot doing different things with open source and sustainability. So it's been hard scheduling a meeting with her. Basically, she wants to get this conversation started. I don't see any reason why we shouldn't. But, you know, we definitely want to check to make sure there's no strings attached. You know, if we are able to become, you know, a nonprofit through their organization, like, would that add arbitrary constraints or anything bad? I don't know if it's a great idea or not, but I do know we need funding and we need to get our situation straight.
And, you know, I think the door is open that we can start a C3. And I guess where the C3, the goal, you know, we did read that, oh, we could just say we're open source, but you kind of wonder if Open Collective is saying that's not a good idea. Maybe it isn't a great idea to just say we're going to start a new C3 that's about OpenEMR, open source project. I don't know what your thoughts are, because remember we were under the impression that it would be okay to start one like that, but maybe we should focus more on charity and education with that organization.
Wasn't it the case that during the last board meeting, I think Stephen kind of let loose the good information that the IRS is no longer really reacting negatively to just starting a 501c3 on the basis of open source? Or am I misremembering?
No, that was mine. Go ahead, Stephen.
Yeah, Brady found that article. No, go ahead. Yeah,
you found, yeah, I mean, that was my impression also. But then we have Open Collective, who's clearly avoiding open source. So I just wonder if, I mean, we could always try a C3 that just says it's for OpenEMR, open source project, and see what happens. I don't know. Because Stephen, didn't you get that impression also from that article?
Yeah, that the IRS doesn't really care anymore about open source. They just need to follow the letter of the law as regards to what a C3 is. You know, like you're saying, charitable, focused on education. If that's, you know, you pick a primary activity. Don't have any activities that are significant enough that would void your charitable, you know, otherwise charitable cause, I guess.
So if we started a C3 and we just said it's only about supporting the OpenEMR software project that's open source, would that be okay, or do we still need to put focus on charity and education?
I don't know enough about the finer, you know, the fine points of that, and we should talk about that privately, just to. So, you know, I mean, just so that it's our own decision on how we want to form that legally. But I think it could be pretty broad. You know, it wouldn't have to just say, hey, this is our only thing we're going to do is focus on OpenEMR. you know, it's up to the C3 to just say, we want to support, you know, all charitable health IT projects or something like that, you know. And then the key piece is, how does the C6 and the C3 coexist? And how do you structure that board relationship? Like, is it the same board? And from what John Weathersby was saying, he's like, sure, that can be the same board. You guys can figure that out and you know, get some guidance on that. So it's really interesting to me. I mean, it's something I'm just learning about, but it seems possible.
This is Robert. I think maybe we seem to really just, I get that it's a slow process, but I would throw this question out there. What is an actionable goal of OEMR and this board and this organization as it stands? And where do we want, why do we exist? And how do we reconcile our existence within the frames, the framework of the U.S. legal system? And there's a couple of things that jump off to me. We exist as an intermediary, essentially, to handle accreditation, logo, trademarks, that type of thing for OpenEMR. And then that stuff is the easy stuff. It's the other question: what are we doing? What, do we exist to only financially support OpenEMR? I think the answer to that question may really help drive some structure home into what we want to do, what organization structure we want moving forward. So I would pose that to everybody on the board, and I'm not sure that, you know, obviously everybody won't answer today, but that's something to think about. What are we doing? Why are we doing it? And once we have a very clear vision, and our mission statement is very broad for a reason, but, you know, we maybe need to narrow down why we exist so we can figure out how to build it into the legal structure, you know. And vision statements can be broad, but what are we doing?
This is Sena. Isn't it like any other open source product like Apache, MySQL, or anything else, but we focus on the vertical in healthcare?
I'm not sure that it's quite the same. I think here's, you know, an example is MySQL is owned by Oracle. Like, Oracle owns MySQL. And so it's open source, but
No. I'm not talking about what happened in the last 5 years. Oracle bought my Sun Microsystems, Sun bought MySQL, that's what Apache, like any other JBoss, so many open source, more than 10,000 open source products out there. Their mission is vendor bias. It's not there, it's open source, freedom of open source, freedom to modify, freedom to use, the whole nine yards, except we focus on the healthcare industry. Maybe I'm wrong here. For me, when I joined the board, that was the mission, and I really like that mission and vision. Vision is make sure wherever we get, we provide a state of the art, interoperability, the whole latest technology. People can download and do whatever they want. That's why people are downloading, I don't know, Brady can correct me, 8,000 download per month or something. So there are thousands of people who are relying on us, making sure we maintain it, we modify it, we enhance it. So I can come up with a vision what we are trying to do. I can do that. That's not a big deal. But open source is the backbone rather than anything else. The freedom to modify, the freedom to use, freedom to customize and use.
Yeah, this is Brady. I mean, we do have a mission. What is the nonprofit organization formed to ensure that all people, regardless of race, socioeconomic status, or geographic location, have access to high quality medical care through the donation of free open source medical software and services related to that software? I mean, we have a mission. You're right, it's very broad. It's interesting. You brought up MyCycle, so I just pulled up MariaDB Foundation, which is a nonprofit. And it's seriously, it's just the Maria Database Foundation, nonprofit, basically just for Maria Database, and they're aiming to get US 501c3 status. Aiming. Now, of course, they obviously don't have it yet, but it's just, I guess the question is, I think OEMR has to go to 501c6. You know, it seems like that's the only option we have to keep it nonprofit. And it does make sense because I think 501c6 is sort of trade organizations where you're focusing on, you know, a conglomerate of different organizations come together to focus on open EMR and that kind of stuff. The C3 is where it gets sticky because it really, I'm still not confident of whether you can, like, will MariaDB or Foundation ever get their 501c3 status? I mean, who knows? Like, if they get it, then maybe the door is now open where you can just say, we're a nonprofit organization dedicated towards a open source project. But I just, I don't know. I'm pretty skeptical after what OEMR just went through to say that.
It's interesting. The call that I had with John Weathersby, he seemed to think that a C6 was not the way to go. He was confident about the C3. And Stephen, maybe you've talked to him more than I have, but. Like, during my call, he kind of said a C6 wouldn't really be, like, we're not really a trade organization. When I think of a trade organization, and I think, well, I see what I'm thinking, but I can't put it into words.
Well, I think, you know, he's a pretty cool customer, this John Weathersby guy. And, I mean, here's a guy, he's not an attorney, but he's, like, willing to get into the fray, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think he kind of read me as like, oh, well, you know, I'm more from the vendor side. And to me, you know, like Brady was saying, look at this group on the board and there's enough of a mixture there that, hey, we've got together here for that certification. We're looking at US-based, you know, businesses and, enough of an activity where it trumps no matter how much education charitable purpose we are really aiming for. So if we can come up with a way to accommodate that, be tax exempt, which is C6, and then also have a C3 that opens things up for grants that could fund the open EMR project, well, isn't that be what we're really looking for? I mean, everybody should be pretty happy at that point.
That's a good point. That's a good point you bring up. That's well explained.
And if you look at 501c6, I mean, definitely you have basically a sort of a business league of, you know, association of people and businesses that are promoting a common interest. I think it definitely falls in the category. I think for me, the C6 makes some more sense. It's the C3 part. I think that's going to be for people to create another one or to maybe use another organization or something like that is going to be where things get a little more tougher. But I guess we could always just try it and see whether the IRS, you know, lets it, you know, we're going to turn in the paperwork and the mission and see what happens to it is probably what's going to happen for the C3.
I think
this is Matthew. I'm most excited about the 501c3 just because I said this before and I'll keep saying it, I honestly see the best way for us to become sustainable is through grants and special fundraising, things of that nature. They could probably only come through 501c3. But I do want to take on a point that Senna brought up, which I thought was a good one, was, you know, aren't we just concerned with open source as it's related to the healthcare field? And I think if we take a step back, one of the reasons why we talked about all these different kind of charitable and education endeavors was because we were trying to come up with a good reason for the IRS to allow us to be a 501c3. I think there's a little bit of a happy accident because to me, it actually makes sense for us to do some stuff in that space. For instance, Dr. Joyce Boyd, who's in our group, can make OpenEMR educational videos, and you know, not only does that help educational use cases and teachers and students, but it also better documents our system. So I think it would be, you know, wise to actually take on some of that stuff. As far as trying to support the overall open source healthcare landscape, it's impossible. I mean, there's just too much out there. But I do see the smart collaborations we're making with folks such as the people that are on the PACS project as good ones. You know, we should support those projects that, you know, help power OpenEMR. Those are newer features to everybody. I'm sure not everybody's up to date, but, you know, these are systems that are open source, MIT or GPL licensed, that are making their way into our system. So I think that we could kind of, you know, think about it from a higher level that, you know, we're supporting OpenEMR and we're supporting related healthcare projects. But I think it would be too ambitious and frankly impossible to say that OEMR or whatever organization we want to be supports fully the open source healthcare field. There's just too much there.
And so maybe that gets refined down to just OpenEMR and the ecosystem that OpenEMR creates.
That's exactly what I'm getting at. Yep, that's a really well wording of it.
There's probably a middle ground, you know. Maybe we are a really good candidate for a C6. You know, I mean, I'm not a vendor. I don't live in that space. So I tend not to look at that side as much, but maybe there is. Maybe there's going to be a happy medium where we're a C6 and a C3. And, you know, I can foresee in the next 6 to 12 months, me shifting perspectives. I'll be done with school and I would want to do a lot of work in developing nations, getting OpenEMR deployed, which is vendor-like, but not quite, because I would want to do it as a nonprofit where I go in and do the work for them. So that's where I tend to, you know, that's my perspective of things, but maybe there is a happy medium here, because I agree that our funding is going to come mostly from grants or private fund, like just private philanthropists who look at us and say, wow, I like what you're doing. Here's a ton of money. Go make the world better. So.
This is Brady. So I guess we'll probably move. It sounds like Steve and me and you will touch base on the C6 stuff just to see what we got to do procedurally to look into that, and then we'll keep talking about the C3. I think offline and talk about it more at the next meeting. If anyone else has any more to add, if there's any more to add, just let me know. Otherwise, we'll move on to the next item.
Yeah, actually, just one really quick thing here. This is Matthew. I think I brought up during the last board meeting, you know, just if anybody thinks of a good name, you know, feel free to email everybody with it or bring it up during the next board meeting for an organization other than, you know, the one we're currently in here. I just think, honestly, like OpenEMR Foundation sounds good to me. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. That could be the new 501c3 OpenEMR Foundation. It seems like there's other projects that do the same thing, Linux Foundation, Django Foundation, et cetera. I think that just kind of works. Not that inspiring, but it's kind of to the point. I don't know. Just throwing that out there.
This is Sana. I tend to agree. I was thinking on this along the same line. Wouldn't we start a new one, Brady?
Well, that's probably the plan. OEMR will get converted to a C6 likely as a trade organization, then a new C3 will be started. And they can be subsidiaries of each other, related, but I think that's where we're headed.
In fact, we can even forget about all of it. We can add a lot of new functionality, customize, and have a plan in the next 90 days, 180 days, make it as a not-for-profit new one. Call it as MyEMR, whatever you wanted to call. We can brand it in less than 1 year very nicely, have a good support with full functionality. And I really like Matthew's idea.
Yeah, this is John. Why isn't it as simple as just changing the name from today we have OEMR Corp, right? That's the corporate entity. Can we just change the name to OpenEMR Foundation? Something like that?
I'm not a legal person, but I guess there is a question. Have you ever involved in if you are making a not-for-profit, the officers has to sworn in that they were not involved in any of the similar things before. I recall Sam couldn't do it before, 5 years ago, Sam Bowen. And at the time, they filled my name, then they replaced me with Sam. So someone legally has to look into it. What are the legal consequences?
Yeah, it's not as simple as changing the name, because OEMR, the corporate entity, already does not have 501c3 status. Has anybody looked just to see if we can reapply for it? Like, if the IRS is now lenient, can we just reapply? Like, would that not just solve everything if we just reapplied and the IRS this time around was like, sure, go ahead?
I don't know if Stephen will probably reply to this, but most of the advice we've received from most lawyers is that it would be a large uphill battle to try and revert what's already happened, and cost a lot of money and take a lot of time.
Just to fill out the form and do it like a complete, we're not a C3 now. What if we just filled out the paperwork to become one?
Well, right now we're in the process. We're still in the window where you could turn in a thing to try and reverse the judgment that they already gave. But they gave a judgment that OEMR is not 501c3.
So right. But if
they would probably, it would be obvious to them if you just try to turn in a new application that you're just trying to.
But if the weather has changed since they've rejected us. You know?
Yeah, that's why I'm skeptical that I'm just pretty skeptical of it all.
Yeah, no, it's
in all honesty.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not just that the weather has changed. It's that they found that one of our purposes was to support private practices, and we had, you know, vendor involvement, and so it wasn't an open source. There was an open source component in their decision, but
I think what happened is that anytime you dig closely into something, on the surface, oh great, this is an open source organization, great, now we're going to let you pass. But back then we got flagged, and when they dig deeply into it and they found three or four reasons why, you know, they felt like there was maybe conflict of interest issues, or because there's vendors on the board who could potentially make money. Although this is what's done in all the open source organizations. They dug deeply, they made arguments, and they're on record. And to reverse them, it would require probably a huge amount of resources and time. Okay. I think Stephen, do you agree that's probably where we stand? I don't know. That's my impression.
The only way to go forward now is the battlement court with our company, because it's our tax ID and our name.
And the argument you're fighting is not, we're open source, you do open source now. There's lots of other things they brought up. Again, if you looked at any organization, you would find the same things for an open source organization. But looked at it with a fine tooth, sort of with a microscopic lens, we were in a position where we're unable to feasibly get C3.
Yeah, and I just, this is Matthew, I just wanted to clarify, you know, the point that I just brought up around the Open EMR Foundation is indeed, you know, kind of what Senna was saying, just a separate 501c3, totally fresh, you know, what we do with OEMR, we could figure out later, whether it's the sixth or something else, it does not matter. Open EMR Foundation is going to be the new 501c3 where we try to get grants and fundraise, but keeping in mind Robert's challenge to us that he brought up, you know, we all need to think about what exactly our vision is there. You know, is it just supporting the project? Is it supporting the ecosystem? Is it involving charity, education, those things? I think that's a very good challenge to everybody to consider. But I'm throwing it out there as the working name. We could just start calling it the Open EMR Foundation until somebody comes up with something better. I do like the ring of it, but like I said, it's a working title, I think.
I agree. I think it's a good idea. And just, you know, and while you're doing the application, you'll come up with the mission and all that other kind of stuff. So, I mean, pressing ahead with that seems just fine, if you ask me. We do need OEMR just because it has responsibilities like meaningful use. That's why it can function as a trade organization. So it'll still have responsibilities and be nonprofit as a C6. But obviously most of the work will be done by the C3, I think, in terms of charity and other stuff that goes on with OpenEMR and the open source. But, and just like OEMR, we can still partner with AWS, all those kinds of things. They're going to basically be two sister organizations, I think. I feel like that's where we're headed.
Is there anything stopping us from going ahead and starting that C3 process now? Like Matthew and I have spring break in like a week and a half, so I can maybe take a chunk of time out to kind of begin that process. Spring break is on the 26th, the week of that. Because, if it looks like OEMR is going to a C6, we might as well start the C3 process, get our feet under ourselves, and try to get some funding. I think the OpenEMR Foundation name is fine. A lot of other companies do it. It's what we should be doing. It just makes sense. Is there any reason we can't push ahead with that?
I think it's fine.
This is Steven. I it's probably fine. I just think, from a legal standpoint, we already went through one of these applications. You have to get all your ducks in a row and make sure you're doing it right the first time. It's just one of those things, that it's a good project to start and look at what we have for our own bylaws and articles of incorporation. They're pretty solid. They were crafted by an attorney. Mm-hmm. Probably build a lot just from our source document, but at some point you probably want to get somebody who's gone through this to weigh in on it.
And you could
I'm with Robert. Like, we should get started on it, and I know that it's not exactly linked, but we do need to get started on like what exactly our grant application looks like and what exactly our general fundraiser application looks like, because we're missing out on those opportunities. So we should just start pretending that this organization exists and building up the vision and all these relevant artifacts. Do you think that we should just go through like LegalZoom or something, or do we really need to bring on a big attorney?
This is Brady. I was going to say just go with LegalZoom, because then at least you're doing it. It's legal. And obviously there are attorneys that they just do it on a large scale, but they have attorneys that make sure you do everything the right way. A lot of it's also the state. You want to make sure you choose a state that you don't have to be a resident in. Those kinds of things are things you have to think about. I think North Carolina is where OEMR is, and you don't have to, the organization someone does not have to live in North Carolina for that to be existing. I'm not sure. And each state may be a little different.
I think Delaware is where a lot of them go out of.
LegalZoom.
Well, I think Delaware is for tax relief. I know a lot of startups use Delaware just for tax relief, but I don't think that applies to us if we're already tax exempt.
I think if you do LegalZoom, then they'll make sure that stuff kind of, and you can always ask questions. Like, that would be a question to ask. Does the state make a difference? And let them know, because if you start in California and you leave, and nobody's in California anymore, what happens to the organization? Those kinds of questions are always good to get addressed. But I think LegalZoom could do all that for you.
They can do it for like $160, $100 plus the North Carolina filing fees of $60. So maybe we just need to start that process of researching, figuring out, maybe contact LegalZoom and just say, give us your elevator pitch on why we should use you. I mean, when we used them for the trademark, it was fine. So
you also want to ask them, you got to figure out what bank you want. Because the bank is going to have their own rules to accept the corporation. You might not, if the bank, might not accept just any state's, nonprofit.
Yeah.
Status. That's it, where you register. Maybe LegalZoom knows that. Maybe some of the bigger banks are fine. But here in Vermont, when we moved OEMR's bank and incorporated in Vermont as a nonprofit, they required us to be on file with Vermont. So it was an extra fee. I mean, it wasn't a big fee, but it was an extra step,
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a good idea to go for, though. I, if you have time, I think it's a good thing to pursue.
Not until at least the 26th.
February?
A question.
Yeah.
A question. OEMR Corp. Today, Is it a North? Did I hear it's a North Carolina corporation or is it a Vermont corporation? I'm confused.
It's actually both. It's registered in both states, but in order for it to have a bank to use the bank that it does in Vermont, it had to be incorporated in Vermont as well. So yeah, the registered agent is in North Carolina. The corporation. And,
Gotcha.
So it's actually two states.
So it was in North Carolina because that's where like Sam Bowen originally incorporated. Is that why it's there?
I think you're right.
Gotcha.
So it sounds like we got some things to do on that, those items. But okay, I'm going to move on to the next item here. So since the AWS partnership. Any updates on that?
Excuse me 1 minute. Yeah, we're still working with AWS Marketplace on Standard Edition. Actually, just recently heard back from them. The good news is that the issues that AWS raised with our submission of Standard Edition, several points raised, but none of them were major. They're all minor points. We responded, so hopefully that'll move ahead fairly quickly. That's pretty exciting. There's a bunch of steps that need to be, things that need to be implemented once we, for when Standard Edition is published and goes live. So I guess we'll start gearing up for that. And the biggest one there is implementing the support, the whole support infrastructure, which is not only some computing infrastructure around analytics and customer support information, but also some policy we need to write and submit to AWS. Basically, we need to document our product support policy for how we're going to respond when when their customers come to us with product support inquiries. So looking forward to doing all that. We actually have a committee for that. And Sherwin's on the line. Sherwin's on that committee, as is Jit, Brady, and myself. If anybody else wants to get on that committee, which is basically the OpenEMR Cloud Product Support Committee, please let me know, and we'll begin those discussions. So that's all I have on AWS right now.
Great. Any questions on the AWS by anybody?
So John, Mary. Oh. Is there anything that we need to do regarding the press release for them?
So what we need to do is hear back from them, right? So they have it, AWS has it, waiting to hear back from them. You know, we're asking them if they want to contribute a quote. We're kind of pushing the edge on that a little bit, so hopefully they will, but we shouldn't be too disappointed if they don't, because we're pushing the envelope a bit on that.
Right.
thanks for announcing yourself, Mary. I did want to introduce Mary because she came on last week and I didn't we didn't have a proper introduction there. So Mary is a public relations professional, a veteran of Boston area news and niche publishers. She wrote and edited everything from ad copy to blogs to books, both online and in print. She has 10 years experience covering healthcare, IT, and compliance issues. Mary's a very well-rounded individual. She's a marathon runner, multi-year volunteer, Boston Marathon, specialist in out-of-the-cube thinking and collaboration. Wow. I guess, yeah, that's a good thing. We could use some of that. And then finally, she bats right and throws righty as well. So, Mary, thank you for your contributions, and look forward to working on that press kit, I think, is the next thing you want to do.
Yeah, I think so.
Something we need. Anyways, Mary Stevens, who's our public relations and marketing communications professional working with us. So please welcome Mary if you run into her online or in the chat rooms.
Thanks, John.
Well, thank you, Mary, for joining us. Your help is much appreciated.
Oh, glad to do it. You guys are doing all the heavy lifting. All I have to do is talk about it. I can do that.
this is Brady. Yeah, it's great to get professional guidance and all this stuff, actually. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of developers sort of trying to do marketing. I guess that's the next item is marketing. So I guess the press kit will be the next thing that we'll be we'll look forward to. Any other marketing stuff to talk about by anybody?
This is Robert. We're continuing a pretty strong, I think I gave an update 2 Saturdays ago. We're continuing a really strong presence on Twitter. And we are slowly approaching 1,000 followers. We've tried to be more aware of trending things of the day. And we are going to have a decently big marketing push during the Olympics. We're trying to run with the tagline Team Open EMR and Going for Gold. And we're going to launch a newsletter during the next couple weeks. And that's really about it. I'm keeping an eye on some of the analytics coming out of the Twitter feeds. And we're also tracking, I'm just trying to track analytics a little better than we've been doing. So that's really it from me. We're trying to do maybe like a quarterly newsletter update via email. Just kind of highlight our items that are going on. So we have most of the infrastructure in place to do that. We just have to get the account out there. So we're trying to do some incentivization, maybe like make up some stickers or something that people can maybe win by signing up. Just something simple and cheap that we can use to gain subscribers early. So.
Great.
Great. Any other marketing stuff to add by anybody?
I don't know if anybody caught the rocket launch last week. I live in Orlando, so it's a big deal when rockets go off over here, although it happens all the time. This one was a really important one, and we, I was able to throw together a graphic real quick and put it on Twitter. And it did... how do I get to the analytics? It did decent. I think we had a reasonable amount of eyeballs on it. So nice. Conversion is really difficult is what I'm finding.
Oh yeah.
Conversion, so, is that when you get a click to the website?
Yeah.
On the marketing topic, I sent a mail to all of you, but it got bounced back, unfortunately. Any update on HIMSS? We can do some sort of a marketing over there. Anybody has any thoughts, views, ready?
No, I think we talked about HIMSS last meeting, maybe during a Saturday meeting, but we kind of felt like it was going to be way too expensive and maybe to focus on the smaller conferences because there was a thought that, and of course, we would obviously go there if somebody agreed to partner, you know, to invite us to participate with their booth, but we haven't received any invitations.
Right. That's exactly. Last year, Medal did that. This year, I called Medal. They said they will call, but they haven't called me. I booked all the hotel and everything. Maybe there is some opportunity. Last year, it was well received. Very nice. Medal company, thanks to Brady, introducing Medal to Open EMR. So if anybody else, I don't know whether you got any request or anything, simply because no other open source in HIMSS. Last year itself, of course, GHC is there. GH was there, and a couple of other people. Tony was there. So,
when is HIMSS?
It's in March.
I think in 2 weeks.
Oh, in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think I have your idea, Brady.
Well, maybe I'll try and send an email to that metal guy. I'll look in my emails. We never know.
Hey, Senna, are you hanging out with Tony? Senna, you hanging out with Tony at him?
No. Tony and I don't get along. That is a long story, and I don't want to get into that now.
Well, you brought his name up. I had to ask. Yeah, we all know.
No, he was. Yeah. All I said is he was there talking about opening a mall or whatever, MI2. To be very honest, he doesn't like me.
So some business competition. Yeah.
Not a competition. I don't do any service. You guys know that. I don't have a product of OpenEMR. We did some service and he did not pay for it and it was bad.
Yeah. Well, let's, just so you know, this is recorded, so we don't want to.
That's okay. There's nothing secret here. Nothing secret here.
So he didn't pay his bills.
Yeah, he said he's broke. That's okay. Yeah.
So I guess that's conference. There were other ones we're going to look into, but I guess we'll unless someone has something to add on conferences.
So this is Matthew. I'm talking with Andre about the possibility of trying to get into a conference this year if our remote patient vitals module is successful in Bhutan. So the idea there is we could probably give a nice academic talk on, you know, the output of that system when it's released and tested. But, you know, we'll only know whenever it's fully done and implemented. I'm actively communicating with the doctor over in Bhutan that's going to test it out. I'm just really busy lately with deadlines at my job, so I haven't been able to fully get everything working, but I'll continue to give updates on that module. And, you know, should it be a success, I think it will easily get into an academic healthcare conference, and Andre and I can probably, you know, take that on, just like we did with the Wonka one.
Matt, do you envision doing any work in Brazil with Andre on that?
So the first user is going to be in the country Bhutan, and I talked to Andre, and he said there's patients that would benefit in his country as well, and they don't have, you know, strict PHI requirements, so this module would be great there. I don't think it's going to be a very hard sell. I think it's going to be very well received by the doctors that test it out. But there's just a lot of ifs, and, you know, I need to get the thing done. I need to get the thing in a doctor's office, and then I need to record the results and get it into a nice format for a conference. But this is my goal for 2018 with respect to conference outreach. Basically, get the remote patient vitals module done, get results, and talk about it at a conference. I think that would be great for OpenEMR.
Absolutely. Thank you for your efforts.
Mm-hmm. A lot of ifs, but I'm working on it. I'm working.
And then we'll just move on to the next item, raising funds, making money, or not making money, just getting money to pay for OpenEMR, I guess. Any thoughts?
Yeah, this is John. So some of you are aware that I'm doing a kind of like a grant application, and inside of it, I've got, you know, definitely funds for OEMR. So who knows if it'll go through. If it does, great. If not, well, we'll just pick another day to fight. And but some of you are helping, so I appreciate that. And always keeping an eye out for possible grant opportunities.
Hey, this is something really cool I'm seeing on our Open Collective. Basically, if you all recall, I signed us up for this donation, open source donation platform called Open Collective. We're making only like a little bit on it. It says right now our annual budget is $289 from donations. But it looks like we actually are in the Open Source Collective nonprofit within Open Collective, because if you go to opencollective.com/openemr, it has us listed under that. So it looks like they already added us. So we should hopefully be seeing some, you know, recurring funds through that.
Well, there's no question we're a nonprofit, right? I mean, we just don't have tax exempt status, but we're definitely a nonprofit.
Well, Open Collective's a little different though, because they will function as your financial fiduciary to be a C3, even if you're not. So I guess maybe you should clarify what they mean by that.
I'm definitely kind of confused, because I don't want to waste any time on the meeting, I just noticed there's a link now to their nonprofit thing on us on our page. So I don't know. I'll follow up. I just got excited because I saw
because essentially they'd be our financial fiduciary, meaning that they would be the C3. It'd be a C3, the money that went through that. But then again, remember they said in the email they wanted to make sure that whatever money that was spent on that was going to towards what they fulfill their mission for their nonprofit mission. So something to probably check into.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the arrangement is different. It looks like they just have a bunch of, like, it's like a super collective kind of thing under their nonprofit. But I'll follow up. I just, like I said, I got excited. But it is a good excuse to talk about Open Collective. You know, we're, I think I'm not a proud person. I'm happy to say we actually did not have a very successful run on Open Collective as a fundraising platform. So I just wanted to note that as something that I think we could learn from with respect to funding, because we talk about doing like Kickstarters and Indiegogo campaigns. And honestly, I've put a lot of effort into Open Collective and the marketing around it. We even end up on the front page of Hacker News, which is a pretty big deal. And I did not receive, you know, a great output. So I think we have to be really clever and really keep in mind that just getting on a platform and giving it your all doesn't guarantee good outcomes, especially with respect to things like Kickstarter or Indiegogo or, of course, Open Collective. So just something to keep in mind for future fundraising ideas.
Yeah, and this is Brady. I mean, in a way, though, it's probably still a good... I mean, it could build over time. So this could just be the beginning. And as more, you know, as more people, it could always snowball into something bigger over the future. So it could just, you know, you sort of laid out a pipeline for potential income or donations in the future. So it still could be worth it, but you're right. It wasn't like a huge, we were all hoping we get more donations from it.
Yeah, this is John. So one thing I find myself doing when I'm talking to organizations, companies that are in the OpenEMR ecosystem, I remind them that OEMR is their, you know, software maintenance and development consortium. So, you know, OpenEMR maintains OpenEMR software for all the companies in the ecosystem. They make money off it. And so all of them should have us in their annual, you know, donation plan. And we'll be happy to share with them how much, you know, based on our estimate, how much they... We'll be happy to give them a recommended donation amount. But every company that makes money off OpenEMR needs to give us an budget for an annual donation, and they need to be reminded of it all the time. At least that's my philosophy. So I try to do that in a very, you know, positive, friendly manner. It's something, you know, because everybody here represents OEMR, the organization, right? Which relies on donations for funding. And so it's glad to hear we had a little uptick last month and donations.
So I'll move on to and I think the next items we were going to remove, but I just didn't remember. So I think the conflict of interest policy, I think some people have done it, some haven't. I haven't done it, so I'm one of the bad people. I got to do that. But Robert, I'll probably skip this item and we'll maybe send the reminders to whoever hasn't turned in their policy yet. Works if you're okay with that.
Yep, that's fine.
And then I think trademarking and joining OSI we were gonna remove also. I think these are things we're just doing, but those are ongoing ish things that are happening. So next item is funding for FIRE. So pretty exciting. I mean, actually, Jerry was supposed to give I forgot what we were going to ask for him, but some sort of specifics on getting funding. But he started working on it already. He actually just put in, we just committed the first commit of FIRE stuff to the code base today. And I'm pretty much working with them on it. And there's another volunteer may start working on it also. The whole hope is to get more folks working on it, but it looks pretty cool. Tech-wise, we can probably go into that off. You know, there's a PR pull release or, you know, on the forums, we can talk about the direction he's going, but he tried a lot of different ways. And that's what I liked about Jerry. He tries a lot of different ways before finding the ideal one. So I think we're on a good path with FIRE, but funding wise, I'll have more to add. I'll probably do a funding request for the next, I'll have details and do a funding request. for the next meeting. Anyone else? Anyone have any questions on the fire? And then there was a funding for the next item was funding for lab requisition form. I think this was Sherwin who's going to work on this.
Yeah, I went ahead and, excuse me, that's been uploaded. I think, what's his name? Matthew looked at it once, but it is completed and up, so it's just waiting on review and include to be included.
Oh, the code is, or the just a request for funding? The code's
no,
done?
No, both.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the code is done. Yeah, there's a PR up on it already.
Okay. I'll have to, interesting. I guess I didn't realize that, but I'll put on my list of things to do a code review on. Matthew, I know, was looking at, Matthew was doing something with you on code reviews. Was it that item or was it something else? I thought it was something else.
That item and the, what's it called? For the MEQs.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah, run into some problems with the MEQ. So that one's on the side burner at the moment, but as far as the lab requisition, that's been completed. I asked a couple people to take a look at it. Arnock that had that they wanted to use it, and I haven't heard back from anybody.
Okay, you know, I think I remember seeing that. I figured I'd wait for the testers to give input, but I'll add it. And you were asking for $500, right?
Yes.
So I guess maybe we'll get it in the. And I know you gave a specific statement to Matthew. Matthew, did you see the state like this the specific statement of requesting funding?
Yeah, I think it was a standard, you know, laying out the scope and the activities line by line. I mean, it's totally acceptable.
Yeah.
And I did not see the PR, so I will definitely look into that this weekend.
We could make a motion to pay, I think it was $500, Sherman, is that correct?
Yes, that was correct.
We could make a motion to pay that once it's in the code base. That's usually how I phrase things. And obviously, Sherwin, you can't participate in the voting.
Correct.
Are people okay with that, or do we need more information?
If that's a motion, I'll second it. I think that's appropriate.
So I guess the motion is we'll pay Sherwin $500 for the lab requisition form once it's in the code base.
Yeah, and then I'll second that. I think that's appropriate. He's done a lot of work, and we just need to test it through. But good stuff.
Moving on to the next item is open collective accounting, which we touched on last time. I think we're just going to incorporate that into our normal accounting at this point. Unless someone has something to add on that, I'll move on to the next, which is new business. I have a blank. I don't have any new business to add unless someone has something to bring up.
Would nominating me count?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Thanks for reminding me. So Asher, who's been at several meetings at least, I was going to nominate him to be a board member that we would consider that we'd vote in at the next board meeting. And, you know, I always forget how to do this. Stephen, do I need to make a motion for nomination, or can I just make the nomination?
I'd make a motion for that, Asher, to be nominated to the board. This is John.
And then I guess, I don't know the procedures, but can we vote him in today, or do we have to wait till the next board meeting? Stephen's usually the one who knows all these kinds of details.
I don't remember there being any requirement that you couldn't just be voted right in.
Okay. So we could, so we'll start probably a vote.
Asher to be, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Do the nomination.
Yeah, I'll nominate Asher to be, a vote for Asher to be on the board of directors of OEM Arcor.
And then I'll do a roll call vote. So either vote, obviously, yes or no. So we'll start with myself, yes. Robert?
Yes.
Roberto?
Yes.
Sherwin?
Yes.
Steven.
Yes.
John.
Yes.
Matthew.
Yes.
Senna.
Yes.
I think that's everybody. If I miss you, let me know. You know, one thing I have to add on to the motion, and I'll just ask if there's any nays. We also have to bring him on as a nominate to bring Asher on as a regular member. So when we do a board, they're actually two different categories, but when you bring people onto the board, we do both. So I'll be a regular member of OEMR and also a board member, and that'll be my motion. If there are any nays to that, just let me know. And that's it. Any other new business?
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Glad to have you on board, Asher. I think that makes actually 14. Let me see how many board members we have.
Yeah, it should be 14.
Is it 14?
Yeah.
Yeah, 14 board members. So we got a lot of board members.
Probably getting close to maxing out, actually.
Yeah, yeah. And there are several that we're going to probably, we've been talking about weaning out one or two. So,
yeah,
ongoing discussion with that. Next item is any public and community concerns. And this is mostly for guests who come on or things like that or other issues for people that aren't board members to bring up. So next item is just an announcement for the next board meeting in a month on March 14th, 2018 at 6 o'clock Pacific time. And then the next item is basically adjourning the board meeting at 7:08 Pacific time. And that's it. I'm going to stop recording. I can get it.